prepared, Lord, that it would be that which would pierce the hearts, and that we would be able, Almighty God, to find a way of seeking you more, a way of receiving your touch upon our lives, a way of walking in new freedoms that we've never done before. We ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name, to bring it about, O God. It says we're talking about freedom from the yoke of bondage. Libertad del yugo de la esclavidad. Todd. So we desire this morning, first of all, we've been looking at various forms of bondage that steals the joy. I really felt like that if we're going to be that abundant life church, that we've got to be a Christian, a believer that's following the Lord and has the joy of the Lord in our soul, because the scripture says that that is our strength. And if we're going to enter into his presence with fullness of joy, then we're going to have to learn how to get rid of those things that steal the joy away from our lives. So here we are this morning looking at those various forms of bondage that steal the joy of the Lord from our lives, that hinders us from the best plan that God has for the goal that he has for us. Do you realize that God is interested in each one of you? He's interested in you. He's interested in each one of us. He knows us by name. He knows where we're headed. He has a plan for our lives. We're the only one that can stop that plan from happening through our resistance, through our rebellion or disobedience to him. We can stop that plan, but he has a desire for us, a goal for us, not to live in bondage, but to live in freedom, to be able to have the word of God as our way of life, a plan for our lives that he can endorse. And how do we get that? How do we find that? We actually have to get rid of that yoke of bondage. Before there were tractors, let me have that picture. Before there were tractors, the farmers knew what a yoke was. And what it would do. It was a bar or a frame that was attached to the heads of the necks of two work animals, such as oxen, so they could pull a plow or a heavy load. And so what actually happened is they invented a tractor. But the old-timers knew exactly what that yoke was. It was that thing that was attached there. And I guess that right here, this ring was where that it was attached to the wagon or whatever, and then they whipped them till they moved. And so it was yoked together. There's various forms of yokes and burdens that are there. So what's the next slide? Or one before? Yeah. It says that it's a heavy burden that he's carrying. I'm glad that all I had was my Bible when I came up here and not one of those things. But you can see the heavy burden that is there. A yoke of bondage is something that is heavy upon you. Show the next one. Look at this. There's two work animals, and they are heavily yoked together. Show the next one. Oh, you don't like this one. It's the same thing. It's handcuffs. It's yoked. Yoked. With your hands, and for some reason it looks like that officer did something here and wrapped it around the bumper or something, and he's pretty well yoked. Show that last one. You see, we know a little bit about this. A yoke of bondage is something that causes people to be treated cruelly and unfairly, especially by taking away their freedom. This is also called strongholds, addictions, to where that doesn't happen what God wants in their lives, because it's not a healthy church, it's not a spiritually healthy person, because they've got these things that are pulling them down, pulling them back. And I don't know the whole congregation this morning. God does. He knows everyone that's here. He knows what is really needed for us to be set free and to walk in liberty of the Lord. And the scripture that's been on my heart is Isaiah 10:27. it shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck. Remember the illustration there. And the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. It will be destroyed by the anointing. This is oil here. And there's nothing really magic in the oil itself. It's a symbol. It's that which God has ordained in the beginning, that it would be that which would be used to anoint with, to set people apart. There's another version, the original King James says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." Because of the anointing. You see, there's we have to understand the anointing. What is the anointing? Who are the anointed ones? Jesus is the anointed one. What the anointing is not. What the anointing is not. I had a lady that worked at the restaurant that we had up the street back in the 70s, before you were born, 60s. And she came in one day and she said, "Did we have a good preacher last night?" And I said, "What did he preach about?" She said, "I don't remember, but it was good." Well, see, the anointing is not volume. It is not noise. It is not just fast talking. Now, it could be that that is part of it, because preaching should be persuasive. And love is not always kind words. If I got to be careful here. If this was a cliff and I was backing up, and you said, "Joe, be careful." That's not what you should do. "Joe, be careful." You know, there is a time for persuasion. But sometimes people think that the anointing has got to be learn how to preach and how to yell and how to talk fast. And you don't even know what they said, but it was good. The anointing is not emotionalism. Now, we're going to feel something. You put your hand in that socket and you're going to feel something. There's going to be a reaction. But it's not just that. What is the anointing? It's in the scripture, Leviticus 8:12, it says that, "And he poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head." And Jody was talking about Aaron. It wasn't Aaron Lynch. He was talking about Aaron. It says, "On Aaron's head, and anointed him to consecrate him." So it was that which was done with prayer. It was done that he was set apart to be a priest unto the Lord. And 1 Samuel 15:1, Samuel was the prophet. He said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you as king over his people, over Israel." And so the anointing is there. The scripture says, "If there be any among you that is sick, let them call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise them up." So the anointing oil is important. But to be anointed, what does it mean? To be anointed, it means to be a receiver and a transmitter of the presence of God. Our theme has been in his presence. And for us to have that anointing in our lives, it means that we are a receiver and a transmitter. We raise our hands sometimes in praise to the Lord. Well, you get all of those up, you've got 10, right? 10 fingers that are stretched out, and they're like that antenna that is receiving from the Lord, and also a transmitter that is sending that out. The anointing is a power within you, and we need power. If we're going to overcome obstacles in our lives, we need the power of God. There are so many programs out today that the secular public recommends and endorses, instead of the power of the blood of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit that will come in and will save a person, set them free, turn them around, change their lives. The prison system already knows they don't have the answer. But we're seeing revival take place in county jails and prisons where the people are getting right with God and they're turning around. And it's not just the programs that they have that make the difference. It's the power of the living God. It's that divine unction, a power within us that comes about. And we can be an anointed people. We can follow the Lord as under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. A homiletics teacher told his group of students one time, you know what homiletics is? Well, that's teaching you how to preach. Homiletics in my book is just have it in memorable form so that they won't be like the lady at the restaurant that said it sure was good, but I don't remember what he said. It's that delivery. And this homiletics teacher said to his students, I can teach you how to prepare and deliver a sermon, but the anointing comes from prayerful preparation and a life worthy of it. Let me read that again. I can teach you how to prepare and deliver a sermon, but the anointing comes from the powerful preparation and a life worthy of it. My father said, it's not theology, it's neology. It's getting on your knees before the Lord. 2 Kings chapter 2, this is an add-on. It's not in the book up there, but it's right here. It's about Elisha. Says that as he was following Elijah, he said, what do you want from me? And he said, I want a double portion of your spirit. Elisha said, as the Lord lives, as your soul lives, chapter 2, verse 2, I will not leave you. So they went to Bethel. And so they go on, and he says, Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. He said, as the Lord lives and your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. And on down, Elisha said in verse 9, and so it was as they crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what may I do for you before I'm taken away from you. Elisha said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. So he said, you've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be for you. So the anointing comes from obedience. Then it happened, as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with the horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. So he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. You see, we have to get rid of some things if we're going to have an anointed life. He took hold of what he had been depending upon. He tore it up. Verse 13, he also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? When he had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. And they said, the spirit of Elijah rests upon him. So it's a mantle that comes upon us, and it's upon us. It's that which gives us that power to change, that power to be delivered, as the scripture said, that the yoke of bondage is delivered by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. As the anointing comes in, then we have that. There's some benefits of being anointed. Psalms 28:8 said, the Lord is their strength, the saving refuge of his anointed. And so when we have that anointing in our lives, well, we have strength, we have refuge. We are able to live in the world and not be of the world. Psalms 45, 7 and 8 says, you love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. And so that anointing will bring a gladness in your life. And verse 8 says, all your garments are scented with myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory places by which you have made glad. And so we have that benefit of being anointed by the Lord. Hebrews 1:9 says, "You have lived loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions." So an anointed person is set aside. They are prayed over. There is freedom that comes. They have a power within to get rid of the distractions that come their way, that steal away the freedom that we should have. Psalms 105 verse 15 says, "Touch not my anointed ones, and do my prophets no harm." So we are set aside with that. Psalms 20 verse 6 through 8, "Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright." More than asking Jesus into your life, it's an anointing that comes upon us that is the salvation. It's more than just that trip to the altar. It's the word soso, and it means to deliver out of danger and into safety. It means rescuing believers from the penalty and the power of sin. It means coming into his provisions, which is safety. It means to save, to keep safe, to be sound, to rescue from danger or destruction. It's a healing that can take place. Sozo, to save a suffering one from perishing, one suffering from a disease, to make them well, to heal. I like this, to restore to health. God wants us to be a healthy believer that are walking his ways, that are not having that heavy load like the man had upon us, but being set free from all the viruses, all of the parasites that would come our way. I ask you this morning, you got a parasite in your life? You got something that had attached to you? What do they call those things that won't turn loose? Well, a snapping turtle? What? Yeah, a leech. Do you have a leech in your life that is there, and you've tried and tried to be different, but it's just there? The scripture says the sin that does so easily beset us, and so it's always there. You want freedom? You want deliverance? Well, it says that sozo is available for us because the anointed ones, he saves. He saves his anointed. He rescues them. He keeps them. So let's look at an example. His name is Jesus, our Lord. God anointed Jesus, and he says here in Luke 4, 16 through 21, "So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. He was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah." I've been living in Isaiah for this month, still there, but I don't. Chapter 42, I got a while to go. "And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written," verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives." And that's what I'm talking about today, that we want to be set free. We want liberty instead of being captive to the past or to that leech that has fastened onto us. A recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to preach, proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Verse 20 says, "Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of all who were in the synagogue were upon him. And he began to say to them, 'Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.'" It was a moment of expectancy when he said that, because the eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him. And here's what I found in some study. Located in the front of the synagogue by the lectern where the scriptures were read was an ornate seat. It was called the Bema, the seat of judgment. There's going to be that judgment seat. When the scriptures were read, the reader would stand behind the lectern. And when a rabbi would teach or exhort from those scriptures, he would sit in the Bema seat. That was their tradition. That's what they were looking for. And so, having handed the Isaiah scroll back to the attendant, who reverently places it within its proper place within the Teba, Jesus now sits in this Bema seat, signifying that he's going to teach from this passage, which he's just read. It's a dramatic moment. Everybody's waiting for him to see what he's going to say. And he says, a proclamation, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Think about it. It says that he was anointed, and he said, it's been fulfilled in your hearing. Instead of speaking of what is here and now, he announces that there are witnesses of the fulfilled prophecy. It comes to pass in their very midst. Could you get this, Charlotte? Take this to Charlotte. I'm sorry. I meant to leave that with her. Probably somebody wanting prayer. Or a thank you. Yeah. You see, Jesus was anointed. He was the anointed one. He's the Messiah, the Christ. And that means the anointed one. And so he is the one that's going to anoint us. It's not the oil or the hand on our head. It's Jesus using that, using us to bring that anointing in prayer. Quoting from Isaiah in Isaiah 61, there's a little bit more here. That's what he was quoting. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of prison to those who are bound. Amen. To comfort all who mourn. Very possible here this morning that there's healing that needs to take place. There's pain that has been in your life, emotional pain, rejection, that needs to be healed. It says the anointing will do that. To console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. You do not need to stay in your ashes when God's got beauty for you. The oil of joy for mourning. He's got joy to bring about in your life. You need a breakthrough. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Very close to depression. God wants to set you free where it's no more. It's the joy of the Lord instead of the spirit of heaviness. A garment of praise where that you're lifting up, instead of complaints, you're lifting up compliments to the Lord and to others as well. That they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. What's the result of us getting healed and touched and just given freedom? That the Lord may be glorified, and they shall rebuild old ruins. Your life is not ruined anymore. They shall rebuild old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the ruined cities. We've got a good plan of reaching out to some of the seemingly ruined people and ruined areas of this city and getting it repaired. But we cannot do this just by having a good program. We cannot do this by just having some good gospel tracts that we pass out. We've got to have the anointing that makes the difference in a person's life. That when we speak to them, it is not just words, but the words are hitting home. I've done both. I've tried to do that. I've had weddings that I didn't exactly agree with, and I did the ceremony, but it wasn't anointed. And I've had other times that I know that God brought this couple together, and I was speaking truth and talking about covenant, and it was flowing, and it was a gospel wedding. It was that which God could ordain. They shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. The sons of the foreigner shall be your plowmen and the vine dressers. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of our God. They shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and their glory you shall boast. So we are talking about something that will be a personal encounter with the living God. You know, we can preach, and there can be action of the Holy Spirit, but then there needs to be a reaction to the Holy Spirit. That's where the altar call comes in. You can tell people to get saved. You can tell them how to get saved. But it takes the Holy Spirit sending that flaming arrow into their heart and saying, he's talking about you. It's talking about what you need to do. I've had people say that they were halfway down the aisle before they realized they'd even gotten up. You see, that's because the Holy Spirit is that drawing. It's that one that comes and says yes, that says yes. I'm just reliving this message, but there was a few years ago, I was a Teen Challenge director here, and I was asked to go and speak. It was, you know, in the 70s. I was asked to speak at a revival at a church that was, I guess we'd call it a black church. There weren't any whites there but me. And so I was asked to go and speak. I remember the first night I preached, and I said to the pastor's wife, a few people were there, I said, would you pray that God will give me a message for tomorrow night? She said, brother, you've got the message. I'll pray that God will get it out. So I studied and studied, and I came up with a message similar to what I'm sharing this morning. And I went the next night, and I guess I didn't do too good the first night because only one person was there in the congregation. And I thought, well, do I just tell him, well, I guess we need to go home? And the Lord said, I called you here. And I had read this scripture that says it should come to pass that day that the burden will be taken from your shoulder and the yoke from off your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. Now, I was talking a few moments ago about the times that you have that spirit of heaviness. Well, there were some things happening that were not very joyful. And I was going through a very difficult time, and God was asking me to preach to a congregation when I didn't even want to leave the house that day because of that spirit of heaviness that was upon me. And I said, well, I said, Lord, do I just go home? There's nobody really here. He said, I've called you to preach. And so I got up and I read a scripture, and I began to try to do what I was supposed to do. And all of a sudden, something else took over. And I felt the Holy Spirit come up on me as if there was 10,000 people out there. And I went back and forth across that congregation, preaching to that lady and that pastor and his wife. And all of a sudden, the scripture said the burden was lifted because of the anointing. When the anointing came, well, the burden was lifted. And at the end of that message, well, I guess the lady got saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, called to preach. I'm not sure. I don't remember. But I know what happened here is that I got set free. And there was no more load. I could have run the race that night because it was glorious. And it had been because that I was set free from that by the anointing that came upon me. That was a gift of God. There wasn't anybody there praying over me and saying, let it happen, Joe. But God gave that anointing that was there. How do we keep going day after day, year after year? We cannot do it. It's not by might, not by power, but it's by the Holy Spirit that we are able to have that anointing upon our lives that is there. You see, we can be set free by the anointing. The yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It says in the New Living Translation, in that day the Lord will end the bondage of his people. He will break the yoke of slavery and lift it from off their shoulders. If you've got that in your life today, you're a slave to it, you're attached to it, and you need to be set free. And Jesus says in Matthew 29:30, it says, take this yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You say, wait a minute. I saw that handcuffs. I saw those oxen. I saw them attached, and now Jesus is going to yoke me. Well, it's different. Look at this. I think I can do this with the mic in my hand. The yoke of bondage is like this. And it's attached to you. It's pulling you down. You can't move without it. But he says, come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. This is the yoke of Jesus. You put yourself in his hand. He wraps his hand around you. You are his. You are in his comfort. You're in his care because it is Jesus that is the anointed one that says, I want you to yoke up with me. I want you to be that one that is attached to me, that where I go, you go, and where I stop, you stop, that you are yoked up to me, and that you are able to find. It's easy. Why would we be yoked up with a yoke of bondage when we could be yoked up with Jesus? My yoke is easy and my burden is light. One more scripture here in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, you know the scripture. It says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, and be not entangled again with a yoke of bondage. He's talking about law and grace, but it's the same thing, that we don't have to be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. When we get saved, our sins are forgiven. We are following the Lord. The old is passed off. It's fallen off our backs. But it says you can return to that yoke of bondage by not walking in the freedom that God gives us. And so we recognize today that we can be set free from the yoke of bondage. We don't have to be a slave to sin. We can be a slave to freedom. We can be yoked to Jesus. Romans 6, verse 5 and 8. Since we've been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We're no longer slaves to sin, for when we died, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we also will live with him. No longer slaves to sin, but set free by the power of the Lord. After Jesus was resurrected, well, they didn't know it was him. These two disciples were on the road to Emmaus, and they were there with Jesus and didn't know it. And it said, didn't our hearts burn within us when he walked with us by the way? Precious Jesus, thank you, Lord. Luke 24:49. He said to them, behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. This morning I'm talking about receiving the power of the Lord to set you free. Until you be endued with power from on high. Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. This morning you can be set free. We desire to see that happen. Go ask our pastoral team to come at this time. Charlotte, you join me up here. Robert and Kimberly, David and Krista, Aaron and Gina, Mark and Trini. And we're going to believe God to set some people free. We've got time to wait upon the Lord. Lord Jesus, we're going to let you line up here in a minute. Just wait a minute. Praise you, Lord. I'm going to anoint them with oil, and then I want them to anoint me. I believe that God wants a healthy church. As you come up this morning, it's not a time to tell your life story or get counsel. But if it's that thing in your life that you feel that's a parasite, it's a leech that is attached to you, the scripture says that it'll be broken by the anointing. That it'll be broken by the anointing. And so we're just going to pray. We don't have to pray long, but we're going to pray individually for you as you come forward this morning. And so just line up down this aisle and line up right through here and line up right through here. And Charlotte and I will be right here. And you want to receive a prayer in Spanish? Well, we have Mark and Trini here. Bless the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We can pray for healing at the same time, body, soul, and spirit. after you receive prayer. If you want to kneel, you're welcome just to continue at the altar up here front. Find yourself an altar. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. If you're waiting or if you're just here as a support, we'll just continue to pray for these people from there and pray for us as we pray for these others. He's a personal God. We can pray corporately. We can pray individually. Believing that even in the audience today that you have received that which will carry you through next week and the rest of your life. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I believe. Lord, I receive. That we are able. One of the themes of past years was anointed to serve. You know, we're saved to serve. We're not saved to sit. We're saved to serve. That we might be able to serve the Lord together, but not in our own might. But we're saved to serve. We're able to be touched by the Lord. I ask you to seek a personal anointing. Like my father said, neology. Where that you are filling your heart with the Holy Spirit, filling your life with the Holy Spirit, and asking God to anoint you each day, that we're not to be that which would be on our own, not according to ourselves, but that which would give strength for the journey. Why did the Lord place this on my heart? I believe because there are some difficult days ahead, and that we as believers, we're going to have to be an anointed people to be able to do that Luke 4, Isaiah 61 ministry that He's given us to do. So we thank you for coming this morning. We thank you for being in the audience and participating. And those that felt a need for that personal touch that came forth, we pray, God, for that anointing to continue. It's more than the oil. Would you stand with me, please? Lord, we desire to obey you and follow you and your leading. And we thank you, Lord, for this day, for what you've given. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Oye, Israel, Jehová es nuestro Dios. Jehová uno es, y amarás a Jehová tu Dios de todo tu corazón y de toda tu alma y con todas tus fuerzas. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Jehová te bendiga, te guarde. Jehová haga resplandecer su rostro sobre ti y tenga de ti misericordia. Jehová alce sobre ti su rostro y ponga en ti paz. I just challenge you to go and take this anointing to the world around us. Take this light to the darkness around us. Go and find a need and meet it. Find a hurt and heal it. You really need to be here Wednesday night. This is going to be a special time. We pray for the protection of Hannah. There's people that don't like what's happened. And we pray for the protection of Hannah as she comes and told that maybe the media is going to be here to be here at this Wednesday night service. Don't know where, here, outside, whatever. But we just thank the Lord for what He's done for Hannah. And how that He's answered our prayers. And we're going to come and, like it was said, for her to tell how she was able, for Larry to tell how they were able, because we're going to face some similar situations. Lord bless you. Fellowship together, and we'll see you soon.